Good morning. It's good to be here, good to be gathered, seeing songs like this, songs about our place in God's family, our joy at that fact, at the idea that we have that to just relish in, to have as a solid fact in our lives. And I appreciate that we are all gathered here in one purpose, with one purpose, to sing about that, to worship God, glorify Him for that reason. One person who's not here today is Earl, along with Gene, the two people. There's many people who aren't here, but two I wanted to mention. Gene has had her health challenges, and Earl had one in particular this morning that kept him from being here. So pray for Earl. He has, particularly right now, a trouble with balance, and that can lead to trouble. So he had some trouble this morning. He called me and let me know he just wasn't going to be able to make it this morning. So pray for Earl. Think about him. As I mentioned last week, we're trying to honor him with the front page of the bulletin and bringing out some old sermons of his. So what I do is I bring home this ancient cassette player and I put in the cassette, and I got to tell you this quick story about my own ineptitude. All right, is what it is. I was trying to play this tape over and over again, and I said to Shauna, it's blank. It has to be blank, because I keep playing and I hear nothing. And then I realized that every time I took it out of the player, it hadn't moved at all. It hadn't advanced at all. I said, oh, well, this thing's broken. This is terrible. And then I realized I had the pause button pressed. So it was never going to play until I pressed that button. And then it came alive all of a sudden with a sermon from, 1993 or 94. So I hope that you'll take a look at those. It is just a way of honoring a man who served here tirelessly for all those years, all those decades. Before we begin our lesson today, let's go to the Father in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you brought us in from the outside to the inside, to be in your presence, to be where you are. And Father, there is no greater blessing. There is nothing in this world that is worth that. There's nothing that can pull us away from that idea when we get it firmly in place in our hearts and in our minds, that you are willing to do that for us. Everything else fades and pales in comparison. Thank you for that gift of becoming your children. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We like to watch documentaries about the 80s and that time period. CNN has a great series of documentaries because we like to watch it with our children. And we like to watch their faces, as they react, especially when it comes to technology, phones and what they were like, televisions, what they were like. And we were watching this one recently, and I tried to describe what televisions were like back then. I said it was different. Picture it this way. I said a television was kind of like its own piece of furniture. It was massive sometimes. Not the screen, all right? just the body of the frame itself. It was like another buffet or like another desktop. They were usually big, and we had one that was just really big, and it was always, not always, but usually it was down on the floor. If you think about the difference from the back in, when I was growing up till now, the televisions were always very low. And so the problem that you would run into with the television being low and the screen really not being all that big was that as a child, you were always in the way. You were always standing in the way. You would hear things like down in front, or you'd hear things like you make a better door than a window, and you realize, oh, I'm standing in front of the touchdown catch that was just playing out behind me. Oh, okay. And you start realizing. In fact, I have distinct memories of finally just laying down like this in front of the television so that everybody would be okay, especially at my grandmother's house. That's where I would lay. And I was right in everybody's way, but it was better than blocking the TV, actually, because not everybody was getting up very often. But there's a guy I know, a friend of mine, and some of you know him, David Drake, and he still has this problem. He has this problem every time the Penguins are playing a game. This is what Dave always sees when he's watching. Now, you can't see very well because it's kind of dark, but you can get the picture, right? This is his daughter, Allie. And she is such a Penguins fan. She does not care about her eyes, obviously. She gets as close as she can to the television. And she's actually there. You can't tell, but she's wrapped in a Pittsburgh Penguins blanket, like a fleece blanket. And this doesn't just happen every once in a while. This literally happens every single time Dave watches the Penguins. How do I know this? Because he's documented it on Facebook. Pretty much like every game, he says, well, here's my view of the game, right? Mostly the back of Allie's head. And he'll complain about it. He'll say, it's not just that she's standing there, it's her color commentary. She's telling me, play. She's saying, this guy's doing this wrong, this guy's doing this wrong, and she's so into it. He's like, and nothing I say makes any difference. And he'll sort of complain, but he's not really complaining, you know, because he's delighted. He loves this little girl because way back in 2004, he and his wife, Wendy, went down to Guatemala and adopted Allie. They chose her out of the children that they saw there. And with great expense and at great distance, they brought her to live with them. When she was much younger than this, when they were living here in Pittsburgh, they just had brought her back from Guatemala, and she was a tiny little baby. She was probably 1 year old. And it was beautiful. It was an amazing thing to see. But there's more to this story. Because obviously they formed this great bond, not just over hockey, but it seems like everything Dave is into, Allie is also into. But in 2016, less than 2 years ago, Dave was getting ready to go work out at the gym. I think it was a Saturday, it was a day off. I think it was in the summertime. Well, I guess it was in the fall. But he was getting ready, and all of a sudden, something went wrong. And he was not speaking right. He was mumbling, and he was not able to stand very well. And it was Allie who found him. She went to Connor, who is their other son, their other child, their son, and said, call 911. And they did. And the paramedics came, and Dave was able to get the medication that you need just in time, in that window of time, if you've had a stroke. He actually had two major strokes. It may be that Dave and Wendy saved Allie's life, but she definitely returned the favor a few years later. Because in 2017, there they are, still drinking their RC colas together. A girl who was once in a faraway land or faraway place and probably situation of poverty was brought into a home, adopted. It may be the most beautiful picture of what the gospel is. It's what we want to talk about today. We've been talking about these great gains that God has given us. These amazing gifts because of the cross, because of his willingness to die for us, to go to the cross for us. And we've mentioned several things that are included in this every spiritual blessing. Substitution, that Jesus would take our place. Expiation, the removal of sins from us. Reconciliation, the relationship repaired between us and God. Sanctification, where he gives us his spirit. And by his spirit, we begin to live the life that he's called us to live. Expectation, where we're thinking about our heavenly home, we're thinking about this place he has prepared for us. And then we come to today, adoption, that you and I might become children of God, members of God's household. We've been mentioning Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 here, but look what 4 and 5 and 6 say. He's always talking about how in Christ he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. And then verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So here Paul is just thinking about, meditating on this amazing gift we've been given. He says, but you know what captures it? The idea that he adopted us. He chose us. He brought us in and he gave us the opportunity to be God's children according to his pleasure, according to his goodwill toward us. So Paul is celebrating here. That's what we're going to be celebrating. The great picture, the picture I wanted to show you here was different. You know, if you notice in this picture, it's not as big a television. It's actually not their living room at all. This was the bedroom where Dave was recovering after his two strokes. And so he had to watch the hockey game in his bedroom. And I think he figured he would have a full, unobstructed view. But you see, it wasn't about hockey, right? Allie was certainly drawn to the game, but she was drawn to the game because that's where her dad was. And that's where she wanted to be. And that's the opportunity now we have because he has brought us into his family. There are several scriptures. There are more scriptures in the New Testament than I have time to talk about today about this idea of becoming children of God. And I encourage you to continue reading beyond. But let's look at a few as we look at this subject of adoption. Galatians chapter 4 is where we'll be. And I want to give a little bit of context because we're going to tackle a few verses here. And it's important to understand what Paul's been talking about. The book of Galatians in general is basically a reaction. There are some people who are preaching, saying, look, certainly come to Christ, but what you have to do first, if you're a Gentile, if you're a non-Jew, is that you have to follow certain laws before you can become a Christian. Certain things have to be done. You have to have these things crossed off, and then you can become Christians. And the whole book, Paul is saying, how backward is that? We did not come to Christ because of law. We came to Christ because of his great grace. And so that's what Paul's talking about. He says the law had its purpose. The law was there to teach us God's will, to help us understand his righteousness and his holiness, and about how we fail in achieving that. And so we needed something greater, something more wonderful than law to bring us into God's presence. And so then at the beginning of the book of Galatians, or the chapter 4 of Galatians, Paul is talking about how a transition happened. Went from the law being sort of our guardian, and now to us not being children under a guardian, but children who are now heirs in Christ. All right, that's basically the context here. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. I want to highlight three different sections here, make three different points. The first is, this is all about going from the outside, looking in on a closeness or relationship with God, to now your status is, you are now in this home, in his household. Notice what he says here. Jesus came to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And so, when we talk about redemption, adoption was the goal of our redemption. Two different ideas. Try to keep them distinct. Jesus came to pay the price. That's what redemption is. He came and paid the price for us. And the goal was that we might be adopted into God's family. Welcomed. Embraced. That was the reason Jesus came. Redemption, forgiveness, is the beginning. The second part, maybe even the more beautiful part, is that we get to become full members of his household. Second thing here. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. God enables us to see him as Abba. Now, what does that mean? What's that word? It's not English. It's not even Greek. It's actually an Aramaic term. And it means Father in a very warm and casual sense, like a familiar sense. I've heard people say, Papa. I've never said Papa. I didn't grow up saying Papa. But I did say Dad. or daddy all the time. I started saying daddy and then it shifted to dad. That's just how it happens. I think I'm dad to all four of my kids now. And that's fine. That's how things work. But dad, it's that we have a relationship. We have a connection here. I'm not going to call you simply father. You know, you're my dad. And his spirit inside of us, because we're sons, the spirit of his son comes into us and allows us, enables us to turn and look at God that way. We have that close of a connection. All that's happening in these verses. And then finally, this third thing. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Steve was going through Galatians a couple years ago, and he made this point emphatically, and it was the right point to make. We become not simply children, but we become sons. And let me walk us through that. I don't mean that, you know, there's not a daughter aspect to this. But Paul's point is, you become full heirs. And there was no question about sons inheriting. There was sometimes a question and a debate and struggles with daughters inheriting. And sometimes it was not going to happen at all. So Paul says, you are children, but you're full heirs, as if you were a son just like Jesus is a son. That status that Jesus has been extended to those who now are a part of his family, his household. It's a beautiful idea. So let's make some points here and talk about this in a few different ways. Adoption as an idea implies official legal change of status. You go from one thing to another. This played out very clearly in our own family. Now, adoption has touched many of our families, but most recently for us, we were invited to go to the courthouse. This is back in 2012, and it was the day when Brian was going to become a member of our family. And I didn't know what to expect. I'd never done this before. Shauna actually had in her family. She had already done this with her brother and sister. But we all gathered in there. Now, when a judge or the lawyers say, you know, you can invite some family, you can invite some friends, when you say that to our family, it's tricky. It's like 100 people, you know. Paul knows everybody in the city of Pittsburgh, so, and they were all there. But we all gathered in there, we packed the place, and we're standing there, and the judge is a little surprised, but the judge is there, and the judge is in the long black robe, and the judge has the gavel, and it was official. It was an official change, and it felt very formal and official. Because there was a change here. There was a promise made. He had Barb and Paul, and I think even Brian, promised, you know, that okay, you're now going to be his parents, and you're going to look at them in a different way. And then all of us committed to that as well. And we wouldn't hold it over him. We wouldn't always say, well, you know, kid, you're barely hanging on here in this family. No, of course not. He was brought in. There was an official change. And that happened with me and you spiritually. When we come to Christ, that's one of the gifts we've been given. Look how Paul describes it in Colossians. Now, in this section, again, it's one of those very long sentences. I struggle with these, you know, because if I were to give the whole context, it's literally like three or four verses before this. But Paul's talking about, you know, things to be thankful for, praying for. And so he's telling them, you know, we should be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Paul says there has been a change with you. You have gone from outside to inside. You've gone from darkness to light. And now that you're here, you're a full heir. It's official. He's qualified you. You're going to get this inheritance. And one of the things that Paul is doing in Colossians is he is underlining and emphasizing the things that they all agree in so that other foreign ideas don't worm their way into the Colossians thinking. He says, remember the gospel. Remember the result, this legal change. Here and a little bit further in Ephesians chapter 1 that we were already looking at. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Paul says, you were sealed. The Holy Spirit is your guarantee. It is that thing that says there's been an official change here. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to worry. Well, am I in Christ? Do I have these blessings? No. This is a guarantee. You keep walking this walk, you don't have to worry. It's a guarantee. It's coming to you because of this change of status. So the first thing, adoption implies official legal change of status. But it also implies loving, warm relationship. I hope you see the difference between those two. I did that intentionally. On the one hand, it's very legal and formal. But adoption is almost immediately you're welcoming a child in at a great expense, at the inconvenience of yourself because you've chosen to bring this child into your life. The relationship is highlighted again using that word Abba in Romans chapter 8. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You don't have to wonder whether this is for you or not. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Do you think Abba, Father is a big deal with Paul? It's a huge deal with Paul. He's mentioned it twice. And Jesus talked about the Father as Abba all the time. There's a connection there. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Adoption implies loving, warm relationship. It's a relationship change. It has gone from a God who was, a vision of God, a mindset of God as somebody who, for every good reason, should be against me because of my sin. But through Christ, has now become a loving Father when I look up. A change in status, a change in relationship. John is just, he just gets so excited here in chapter 3, and he says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. Exclamation marks, right? Wow, what a great thing that is. That we might have a change, that there might be a relationship like a dad and a son. I debated on whether I would share this, not just because of time, but because I don't like to share the ends of movies. But this movie came out a long time ago. Field of Dreams. I shared it with my kids recently, and they thought it was one of the most bizarre movies they'd ever seen. And it's weird. It's way weirder than I thought it was, because I hadn't seen it in a while. But we're watching it, and that movie is about baseball, but it's about so much more, right? It's about a father and a son. It's about the two of them having an opportunity to come back together. The last time this son was face to face with his father, he basically said, I don't need you, and walked out. Years before, he had already quit. The dad would offer to go play catch with the son. He said, I don't even want to play catch. I'm done with you. But through the amazing story that unfolds, which is as bizarre as you can imagine, with baseball players showing up from history and all that stuff, what's going on? Are they ghosts? Is this heaven? What's going on? They're face to face at the end. And at first, he's very formal. And he introduces his daughter to her grandfather. He says, this is John. And hey, how you doing, Karen? That sort of thing. And then they part ways, and the dad starts walking back toward the corn where all the ghosts are from. Told you it's weird. But he turns around and starts walking away, and the main character, he realizes, I just want to end this with John as this guy I know. So what does he say? He says, hey dad, how about a catch? And they play catch. That's the difference that Paul is trying to get at here. He says, you are now in a warm relationship with the Father. That reconciliation we talked about, added to the idea of adoption, means you are now father and child. He's now your dad. And that relationship has been restored again. That's all in Christ. That's all one of our great gains that He has given us. And finally, adoption implies family. And a place in it for you. I found this quote, And this quote so well summarized this entire sermon series, I felt like I had to use it no matter what. It was going to show up here. Forgiveness isn't an end in itself. The point of forgiveness is to remove the barrier that stands between us and God so that He can give us His Spirit and bring us into His everlasting family. If you missed the entire sermon series, it pretty much is summarized in those sentences. That what has been done for us is, yes, forgiveness, but it didn't stop there. He gave us His Spirit. He gave us sanctification, a rightness with Him, removing the barrier, and then bringing us in, adopting us as His children, bringing us into His everlasting family, where we have expectation. We can think about the future and how wonderful it will be now that we have a place in this family. Family, the definition of family changed as Jesus was teaching. He wanted us to see family differently. We know this because His family went looking for Him. Mark chapter 3. Then He went home, so He went to Nazareth, and the crowd gathered again so that they could not even eat. And when His family heard it, they went out to seize Him, for they were saying, "He is out of His mind." So here's Jesus' biological family, His mother and His brothers. They see He's in town and they say, "This has got to stop. All this stuff that's going on, it's embarrassing. We've got to get it stopped." And another episode happens in between here, but this part of the story gets picked up again in verse 31. And His mother and His brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to Him and called Him, and a crowd was sitting around Him. And they said to Him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And He answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" See what He did there? My biological family? You think that is the real family here now? He goes on to say, looking about at those who sat around Him, He said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Redefining family. What does it mean now? It means those who are willing to listen to Me, those who are willing to do the will of my Father. That's the family now. And so it's been redefined. He has established a family and you have a place in it. Now what's interesting here is Jesus says it's not. He doesn't describe it as a family where we do just sit around the fireplace, you know, in our socks and just hang out, right? It's not just a veg out on the couch all the time. He says, "Whoever does the will of my Father." This is an active family, in other words. This is a family that's working. Imagine like the old farm families. You know, I have to imagine it. Earl lived it, right? That's the difference between Earl and Mike when there's preaching going on. Earl can say, "Yeah, I remember our entire family having to work the tobacco fields or whatever they were doing." But that's what he's implying here. Look at the verses. I mean, there's plenty of verses we find like this, but in Ephesians. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. He's talking about places in the family. To equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. He came to establish a family. He didn't come to establish an audience. He didn't come to establish spectators. He didn't come to establish a group of people who would simply be passive, happy and passive. He wanted us to be full of joy. But He wanted us to be doing the work of His Father. Your place in this family means, what are you going to put your hands on? What are you going to begin to work on? How are you going to contribute to the family, to the body of Christ? And that is the challenge. We've been brought in, we've been adopted into this family, but God then turns to us and says, "Now I have work for you to do. Good work. Work that you're going to love, not work that's going to be arduous, that's going to be a labor for you, something that's just going to, you know, drive you crazy. No, it's going to be life invigorating. It's going to be work that is in line with my love for the world and how I want the gospel to reach more and more people. And I want others to feel the love. Can you do that work for me?" That's what He's calling us to when He's bringing us in and giving us a place in His family. Adoption is a beautiful idea. I saw a quote from a woman who said that adoption is one of the most beautiful examples of redemption, and I get to watch it play out in my own living room. That's how she described it, because she was a mom who had adopted. And so she got to see that a child was taken from the outside and brought in to be loved and cared for, to be given a place. A place not to simply, be indulged, but somebody who could then make a contribution. Adoption implies all of the above. And it's yours. It's being offered to you. Maybe today you need to take him up on the beginning of that offer. Maybe you've never said, I want to be a part of this family. He gave very direct ideas of how you become a part of this family and how you respond to the gospel that says you can have your sins taken away. If you need to take the first step, today is the day. Why not respond as we stand and as we sing?